you know, part of the fascination for me and why I've historically tried to, you know, put on almost every gadget that comes out is understanding which one of these may potentially actually have a positive impact on helping us win more. Meaning, how do we get healthier? How do I learn from some of those data so that I'm not just collecting devices, but I'm actually collecting data that I can make into actionable information?
My name is Leigh Farnason. My brother Anders and I are on a mission to help 1 million vegans get into the best shape of their lives. We firmly believe that the more healthy and fit vegans there are in the world, the faster veganism will spread. Let's work together to inspire change, spread compassion, and challenge the status quo. Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast.
Hey, what's up? My name is Leif, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Daphne Bascom. And today, we're going to be talking about wearables and devices and tracking and all of that good stuff. So I know you are a huge data nerd, as am I, and I love to hear what really inspires you in this area.
I have been a data nerd for years, and I think it started back in the quantified self era, where just understanding about your body, being able to get data, but not just data, I want information that I can act on. So what inspires me is learning more about myself and being able to use that to get health improvements, to be a better me.
What are some of the cool, well, I want to get into your whole kind of data tracking approach, but what are some of the maybe big wins that you've had from a data tracking perspective or realizations that you've had along the data tracking journey that have impacted your life in a positive way?
The most profound was sleep and understanding that just being in bed doesn't mean you're sleeping and sleeping well. So being able to use smart devices to measure the sleep quality and sleep quantity, that was a game changer. Probably the other one, not necessarily me, but I may have shared before that I actually gave my dad a Fitbit because what it allowed me to do when I was traveling a lot is I could remotely monitor his activity. So the other benefit I think of these technologies is giving us an insight into looking at people we love. So I could see when he was active, I could see when he wasn't active, I could see when he was getting up at night to pee multiple times. It gave me a lot of information that I could act on to make his life better.
Yeah, that is hugely powerful. And that's especially helpful from a coaching perspective. So we might get into that in a little bit more detail. But yeah, I'd love to, where do you kind of want to take this conversation? Where do you want to start?
Well, first thing I would like to say is that you have recently relocated.
So yes, moved this last week. It's kind of a chaotic week.
Leif, how's your sleep been? And what are your trackers telling you about your sleep?
Last night was 100%. So felt
100%?
Felt very good. So I've been using Whoop now for, I don't know, about maybe 9 months. I'd have to look back at my tracker, but something on the order of 9 months. And I got it because you and Brian kept talking about it. And I thought, oh, that would be cool to track. And I was most interested in the sleep part, like you just touched on. And that's been the biggest realization for me. Historically, I haven't really tracked data with wearables too much, but I think it's really as simple as I haven't really ever liked things on my wrist. So I don't really, and that's not meant to be like an excuse or anything. It's just not really, hasn't been a priority for me. But wearing the Whoop, which is pretty low profile, it's easy to kind of get on and off. And it's also really accurate when it comes to tracking your sleep. That's been a game changer for me. And it's really, I think, what I've gotten out of it more than anything has been kind of the competitive side of pushing me to improve. And that way I'm almost kind of competing against myself because I can easily track my progress over time. And what I love is it tracks your average sleep score over a week, over a month, over these different time periods. And you can work to improve that average over time. So yeah, last night was 100%, but the nights prior were far, far less. In fact, there were a few nights where I actually wasn't tracking my sleep because I took off my Whoop as I was packing and it ended up getting packed away in a box and I lost it for a few days. So I just unearthed it 2 days ago. But yeah, there were a few days where I was not tracking because of that. So I don't know exactly what the sleep scores were during the few days where we actually moved, but significantly lower. Like I was getting maybe 5 hours of sleep, 6 hours of sleep. And yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, I think there are, this actually kind of sparked an idea for another conversation that I think we could have at some point, which is just kind of acknowledging that there are life circumstances that will push you off of the perfect sleep streak or your workout streak. I also didn't work out over the time period where I was moving and my nutrition was less than optimal. So yeah, that's another thing that I give myself grace during those times. And I think that's an important part of the process because I know I can hop right back on, which I'm working to do this week. So anyways, that's the answer to the sleep question.
So you actually raised quite a few points that I hope we can touch on today and maybe in the future. One is not, you still need to think about how you feel. The device isn't going to tell you how you feel, and it's not going to dictate how you navigate life. So, you know, we can parking lot the conversation around if you are someone who does like to track, how you don't allow that to drive you to the point of distraction. Because life is going to get in the way, whether you're moving, whether you lose it, whether you run out of batteries. I think it's important to understand some of the psychology around, and we read about it in the literature, are these good or are these bad? Is it something that people become too fixated on because they're trying to manage the number and not really understanding what is the number telling me and how do I feel regardless of what the number's saying? So
yeah, well said. These are all data points. They're all pieces of information. There's no one single source of truth other than how do you authentically feel? And that's like, I know I was, to use the example we've been talking about, I know I was not sleeping well over the move. And I expected that. Like we meant to leave earlier than we did, but we ended up leaving at 8:30 at night, and we had what should have been a 3-hour drive, which turned into a 5-hour drive because the truck topped out at 50 miles an hour. So anyways, we ended up getting to bed, and then we showed up here and there was no running water. There should have been. There was no electricity, and obviously we didn't have internet because there wasn't electricity. So we showed up and it was basically just a tent. And so that kind of affected sleep as well, and we were trying to figure that out. I ended up not getting to bed until 3, and we had to get up and empty the truck first thing the next morning. So I got maybe 5 hours of sleep, 5 hours in bed, which as you touched on is not 5 hours of sleep. And so I can know, hey, this doesn't feel great and I need to get back on track, but I also give myself grace and say, hey, there were some unforeseen things that came up. I did try to plan the move better than it kind of actually turned out. And we set up all the utilities the week before. Like everything was supposed to be set up, and there were just a few cascading factors that kind of pushed things out of our control. But yeah, giving yourself grace in those times and then working to just get back on track and just listen to your body. What do you need? What does looking at these data trackers, but also asking yourself, hey, how do I actually feel? Because I've had days where I get a 100% sleep score and I don't feel like I got 100% sleep. And I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's due to lying in bed and Whoop thinks that I'm sleeping because I'm really still. And I don't know exactly how they track sleep time exactly, but my heart rate's low. I'm not moving at all. I don't know how they're tracking it, but maybe some time where I'm awake and just lying in bed, they register as sleep time. Mostly I've noticed that it seems to be highly accurate, but that could be a reason. But I've also found that my deep / REM sleep, the number of hours that I get for deep and REM, correlates better with how I feel the next morning than my sleep score. And Whoop tends to emphasize the sleep score, which is your percentage. Like how much did you sleep relative to how much sleep you needed? And if that's 100%, that means that you've slept whatever Whoop thinks that you needed for an entirely restful night. But sometimes I'll have 100% sleep score and have 2.5 hours of deep REM sleep. Mm-hmm. And then other nights I'll have 100% sleep score or even maybe 95% sleep score and have 3.5 or 4 hours of deep plus REM sleep. And that just correlates a lot more with how I feel. So again, getting back to what you said, it's not just the number, but what are you doing to correlate the numbers that you're tracking with how you actually feel? And it's just a tool to help you build a feedback loop in your routine to improve your health and fitness over time. So that's how I try to use it. And I feel that it is really important, as you touched on, to track whether it's Whoop or a Fitbit or whatever, to track, but not get super caught up in the numbers. Like there are, my sleep a few months ago was averaging better than it is now. And that's just sometimes
it is what, it is. Yeah.
What it's going to do. But how do you use that as feedback to then go out and try to make some positive changes? What was I doing in September that made me crush my sleep really across the board? And how can I get back to that? You don't always need to see the number improving, but if it's heading in a less optimal direction, what can you learn from that? And how can you use that as feedback to improve your strategy moving forward?
And I think that is summed up in a quote you shared with our team earlier, which is the more ways you measure, the more ways you can win. Because if you're not, so I'd love to hear, you trained for an Ironman years ago. And based on what you just shared, you weren't really tracking when you were training for your Ironman.
I was tracking my workouts, but I wasn't tracking any biofeedback.
Okay.
At all. I was tracking heart rate during my workouts. Aside from that, I wasn't tracking any biofeedback.
Interesting. So, I mean, I'm sure people wonder what, you know, why are we talking about this? Why is it important? And there are a couple statistics that I wanted to share because we need to link the growth of this market with everything that you just said, which is we have all this data, but how are we making it actionable information? So as of 2022, the global wearable technology market was valued at $61.3 billion. That's B, billion with a B, and is expected to grow at a compound annual growth rate of almost 15% between 2023 and 2030, which means that there's a plethora of devices that already exist. The technology is growing. We're getting smarter, but we're not getting healthier. So, you know, part of the fascination for me and why I've historically tried to, you know, put on almost every gadget that comes out is understanding which one of these may potentially actually have a positive impact on helping us win more. Meaning, how do we get healthier? How do I learn from some of those data so that I'm not just collecting devices, but I'm actually collecting data that I can make into actionable information?
Yeah, that's a really powerful point. We're tracking more than ever. We have more health and fitness products than ever. We have more wearable technology than ever, but we are not healthier.
Mm-mm, not at all.
So yeah, as someone coming from the medical world, what do you kind of take from that?
Number one, I still feel that lifestyle, I mean, you can't necessarily measure lifestyle. Well, you can measure some of the impacts of lifestyle using these devices, but I don't know that we have consciously educated people on how to use the information in that positive feedback loop that you're talking about, or it becomes so overwhelming that you don't know what to do with it. So I'm wearing 4 devices. I have an Aura, I have a Garmin, I have an Apple Watch, and I have a Whoop. And I use each of them a little differently. Now, I'm probably 2 standard deviations because I love data. And I love understanding what are the correlations across devices, what are the correlations with what I'm eating, how I'm moving, how I'm feeling, how stressed I am. I think you need to almost have a, you know, a process control diagram that looks at the data along with your lifestyle, because your lifestyle is really what's impacting your body, what you're feeling, how you're feeling, how you're moving, how you're feeling, how you're engaging with people. That's what's reflected in these numbers. And without that kind of process control, I don't know how to take the information and then apply it into a process improvement process, if that makes sense. The, you know, from a healthcare perspective, I still think we use a lot of the technology to monitor people when they're sick. So just as I was saying with my dad, having devices in the home to track people, whether it's a lot of what we did during COVID, can you measure your temperature? Can you measure your pulse ox? Can I look at your activity? But how are we looking at people when they're healthy and helping them optimize their health so that they don't get sick? Which is why I think despite the plethora of data and, you know, wearables and trackers, we're not optimizing health. We're usually waiting for something to break and then trying to fix it.
That's a really important point. And yeah, how do you feel we get out of that cycle where what would you recommend is kind of the right strategy for getting ahead of any kind of illnesses or complications? Or maybe it comes down to the question, how do we really use tracking to become healthier?
I don't know if I know the answer to that 100%. I think one, it starts in consciously measuring. So going back to, and I know we had this conversation, you have to measure and monitor in order to get the wins. So I think number one is having access to the tools to actually do some of this non-invasive type of measurement, whether it's a Whoop, an Aura, whatever aligns with what you want to measure, to find that device. Two, to educate people to understand what the data are telling them as it correlates with how they're living their life. And I don't think that that's easy, and I don't think it's anything we do. And it's probably something that we need to start with youth and helping them understand their bodies, understand their physiology, understand. I mean, children are wearing pedometers, they're wearing smart devices today, but I think they're using them, they're not using them consciously the way we are, unless it's someone who may be a competitive athlete. But I think one is measuring, two is education and helping understand the correlation between what you do and the data you're seeing. And then three, where I think most people get stuck, which is why I think frequently a coach is helpful. So what? You know, I have all this, what do I do next? And how do I action it to have an impact?
Yeah, I totally agree. So let's talk about your data tracking journey in a little bit more detail. So you told me earlier that you have a tracker graveyard.
I do.
So tell us, what is that tracker graveyard and how does a device end up there?
So historically, I would if a new device came onto the market, and not just a device, it was, you've probably seen some of the clothing where you can have a wearable in your clothing, or, you know, some of the tops where you can have electrodes or other type of physiologic measuring devices built into the fabric. I tried everything. If it did not contribute to me understanding myself better and being able to make a positive change, it went into the graveyard, because you can't wear 10 layers of pants and 2 layers of shirts. And, you know, there was a time probably maybe 5-10 years ago when I hit three deep on trackers on each arm, and I would whittle away the ones that just weren't giving me useful information. But I think part of it too is being able to be predictive, which is why if you're only looking back historically and saying, this is what I did, it's okay, this is what I did, this is what I was doing when things were going well. How can I now apply that in current state to future state to continue to amplify those times when I was either healthy, when I felt good, when I was fit? So any of the devices that were just kind of, they didn't grow with me, they went into the graveyard, because they weren't adding to me either feeling healthier or potentially living longer.
Brian Johnson would be proud. Kind of led the field there. He's wearing half a dozen trackers at a time. You know what's interesting is he only wears Whoop from what I've seen. So I know he has millions of dollars of tracking technologies and stuff in his house that he uses for all these different scans and tests. But I think the only kind of wearable that he has on at any given time is normally a Whoop.
I love my Whoop.
Yeah. You already kind of touched on your fitness trackers. Why, or the wearables that you have now, why do you wear the particular ones you do? And what specifically are you tracking? What are you trying to get from them?
So I want to back up and add one thing to the prior comment, which is the other reason I like to try the devices is so that I can help the people that I coach make informed decisions about, is this something that I want to use? And so at some point I want to touch on, how do you make an informed decision around which device do I want? So I don't like to wear things, which is why, you know, some of the devices I struggled with, especially wearing at night, because there were times when I would actually I would take off my garment in the middle of the night because it was annoying me. So I started wearing the Oura Ring. And if you could actually see my Oura Ring, it is pretty beat up because I wanted to track my sleep. But I needed to wear something that was unobtrusive and that I didn't want to take off while I was sleeping. And so I started wearing the Oura Ring to track my sleep as I was going through menopause. I started understanding more about sleep using it, but it was also something that I could train with. I didn't have to take off all the time. It holds a battery charge well. So it was mainly a sleep monitoring device. During COVID, when I started to run, is when I got the Garmin. So the Garmin has been helpful, and I wear it mainly to track my running and to provide positive feedback around my pace, my gait, all of the things that I learned as I started getting back into running again. And the Garmin is an awesome device for that. But I don't sleep with it. I don't use it for many other things other than when I'm training, and it gives me very good information that I can use to assess my progress as I'm training for different milestones that I have. The Apple Watch, I think I got because everyone else got one. And I have I have an iOS environment with my phone, so it connects well, but I do not use it for anything except seeing who's calling me.
Yeah.
It's not a health device for me. Some people do use it that way. And I know that I have an older version, so I know the newest version may be better, but it hasn't been part of my ecosystem of, I don't go into the app and I don't look at the data. The Whoop has been one of my best finds ever. One, because I love how it feels. It's very low profile. It doesn't have a watch face, or it doesn't have numbers. So there's nothing to distract you. It's just doing its thing. And then I can look at the data when I choose to. But the other thing I love about Whoop is they're starting to build some AI into it so that it can learn about you. It can start to make recommendations around, you know, so Whoop, based on my data for the past 5 days, what kind of workout should I do today? Not that it's going to be 100% accurate, but it can start to intuit some things about my patterns of behavior, my recovery, and that is pretty fascinating to me.
Yeah, I actually have an Apple Watch, and I wore it for a few months, but I stopped wearing it because really the only value that I got from it was seeing, hey, who's calling me? What text am I getting? And frankly, I didn't even want to see that because it was distracting, and I was trying to get work done. So I just stopped wearing it. The one thing that I loved using it for was swim training. So it has, and maybe there's a better device out there. I would need to like do some research, but it can track laps, and it uses its gyros to know when you turn around. So it can actually count laps for you. So when I was training for the Ironman and I was doing 100 plus laps in a swim session, you don't want to try to keep counting as you're swimming.
You can't.
Because you just have one number in mind. You're like, okay, 37, 37, 37, 30, 38, 38. You're just constantly, like, that's the only thing you can think about, or else you're going to forget. Or at least for me, maybe someone else who, maybe other swimmers know a better way. But I was struggling to do that. So instead, this would just count for me. And then that was hugely beneficial. So frankly, I would have bought it just for swim training. Maybe there's a better tracker, as I said, for swim training, but I found it to be really helpful for that. But yeah, I've just been using a Whoop, and that's, but I also like that, as you said, it doesn't have any kind of face to it. It's not going to distract you, and you can kind of passively consume your data.
So going back to passively consuming data, if you are comfortable, can we talk a little bit about some of the potential cons some people may think about, such as, is my data safe? Who's looking at my numbers? And can these devices be demotivating as opposed to motivating?
Yeah, I don't really actually think about that first one, and maybe I should, but I don't, at least as far as Whoop goes, even if someone had my data, I'm not sure how that could negatively impact me in any way. And if whenever Apple says, like, hey, we're going to be tracking this, or can we track this, or really any company says that, I'm usually just like, yeah, sure, whatever. Because I don't know, I really, maybe I kind of look at it from a business perspective, but I'm always looking for ways to improve our coaching program, our company. How can I get better? And I know the only way that we can tangibly know that we're getting better is if we track how we're doing. So I kind of want to give other companies that same opportunity, other companies that I respect and use, such as Apple or Whoop. And maybe you're listening and you hate Apple or hate Whoop or whatever, but you probably have a few of those companies as well yourself that you really care about, and you buy lots of their products. You think that they make awesome products. And I don't know, that's just kind of always been my perspective. Would I want to just publish my medical records online? No, but for something like my, I don't know, maybe for some devices, the lines are pretty blurry there, but for Whoop, at least, it doesn't seem to me like there's any cons to that. But yeah, I don't think I'm probably not the right person to speak to on that, because I don't know too much about data security.
Well, obviously I don't care, because
you're like giving everyone's got my data. Different companies, like, just hook me up, take whatever you want.
And how about the motivation perspective? I mean, have you coached anyone, or have you worked with anyone that the data was actually demotivating, as opposed to, how do you make it positive and not negative when someone's saying, well, I only walked 1,000 steps today? Or
yes, I have worked with lots of different people who have had some concerns about tracking or what the information is telling them. And I think I try to help them adopt kind of two main perspectives. One, give yourself some grace, as I was talking about. So when the numbers don't show you what you are hoping for, then yeah, maybe that's not ideal, but it's, give yourself some grace when things are not going the way that you're expecting. And I think this is especially true when you are putting in the effort, when you're, let's say, following your nutrition plan, following your training program, and the number on the scale is not changing the way that you are hoping or expecting it to. Okay. Well, I know from, I guess part of it is also just having lots of experience and continuously proving to myself that I can trust the process. I know if I have these inputs, I'm eventually going to get that output. And it might not happen on the exact time frame that I am expecting. And I think weight loss is a good example of this. And your body's water balance is a huge driving force, typically, in people putting in all the right inputs, but not immediately seeing the expected output. Well, it could be your menstrual cycle and how your weight kind of fluctuates around your menstrual cycle, mostly due to hormones and your water balance and all of that. And the same thing can happen for guys in various ways where you maybe your bathroom schedule changes a little bit, or you've got just more water in your body or something. So on a long enough time horizon, if you're averaging things out, then and you're putting in the right inputs, you will eventually see the right output. So I think maybe also having a larger time horizon and understanding that the goal is not quick results, it's lasting results, I think is really important. So I shouldn't wear a tracker and then expect to see a 40% improvement in 5 days. And then if not, I'm asking, what the heck, this doesn't work. That's kind of the New Year's resolution mentality that I think is really important to break free from, because so many people head into a new year and have all of these big goals. And when it doesn't immediately happen, or once they hit their first roadblock or first couple roadblocks, or they start experiencing some adversity, or things are just, they're not getting the output that they're expecting from the inputs in a short time period, then lots of people tend to give up or feel like giving up. And I think it's important to just trust the process and zoom out a little bit. So one, giving yourself some grace. Two, looking at a longer time horizon. I think both of those are really important.
They are. And the second one in particular, the devices are are additive to your total health program. So it's not going to fix anything. It's going to inform you about opportunities that you have to improve. Whether it's your sleep, I've been struggling with my HRV, which
I have too. Yeah, we can talk about that.
Oh, it took it tanked. And I'm just like, what the?
That's one number that I don't understand really. Like, I understand I've actually did some research into it. And because prior to Whoop, I hadn't really had any exposure to HRV. So then I started seeing this number and I thought, I thought it had to do with something like, I don't know, in my mind, when I first saw it and I had done no research, I thought, oh, that's low. That's good. Because I was kind of equating it to like heart rate.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you want that to be low. And I'm like, okay, cool. 30s. We're good to go. And then I looked it up and I'm like, maybe I heard someone talk about it on a podcast and they're like, yeah, actually I've worked my way up to like 100 and something on HRV. And I'm like, what? That's good. And then I did some research and it was like, oh crap, mine's terrible. So then I started, and I guess that's another good example of giving yourself some grace. So I could have seen that and thought, wow, I suck. I'm terrible. I need to throw away the Whoop. Why am I doing this? I should just give up, whatever. But instead, I'm viewing it from the perspective of, okay, I thought this was good. Just kidding. This is a really bad number and I need to turn this around and improve this. So I've been steadily working my way up into the 50s and I have seen some weird dips that don't seem to correlate with anything that I'm doing differently. And I'm not sure why. That's one number I'm still trying to get a hold of. But we don't need to go into detail about heart rate variability, but it's important to, I guess building off of that, it's important to educate yourself and understand, what exactly am I tracking? What is a reasonable improvement in this data point? What can I expect to achieve over this particular time horizon? So just understanding, what does this mean? How am I tracking this? And not just listening to what an app says, oh, good job, or hearing your friends say, oh yeah, that's good or that's bad. I think there's, the more you know, the better you can actually utilize your data. And one other thing that I try to communicate to people, whether they're clients that we're working with or anyone else, is the importance of not hyper-focusing on any particular source of data or any particular data point. So I see this happen a lot with weight loss and focusing on the scale. And what I always try to tell people is the scale is a tool. Whoop is a tool. These other trackers are tools. And none of them are the single source of truth. They all just are a source of feedback to try to help tell a larger story. And they're also just points that we can use to reflect on. They don't dictate what you are achieving or what you're accomplishing. So it's just a means of feedback. I like looking at all of these different tracking systems and viewing them as a feedback mechanism. So when I see my sleep score trending in the wrong direction, what do I need to be doing differently in my schedule to help nudge that back on track? Or when I'm focusing on weight loss and I'm not seeing the scale change as quickly as I was anticipating, okay, that's information. I'm not going to beat myself up about this. I'm not going to throw away the scale. I'm not going to tell myself that I'm a failure or I'm not doing the right things, because I know that I'm mostly doing the right things. So it's just maybybe it comes back to just trusting the process and knowing that when I have the right inputs, I will eventually get the right outputs. And I'm not going to become hyper fixated on any particular tracking source that could become my narrative. I will define my narrative and I'll use all of these different sources of information to help me track my progress along that journey.
So Leif, you are 100% correct. And what it reminds me of is, if you are sending a man to the moon, you are not looking at one gauge in mission control to determine, are you successful in that mission? There's a whole room full of people measuring different aspects of the thrust, the power, the fuel, the temperature. There's no one number that you can distill down to as you're guiding that space rocket from here to the moon or from here to Mars to say, this is the number that's going to tell us that we've had a successful launch. It's a multifactorial, multi-system, multi-measurement process. It's the same as flying a plane. I mean, you would not want to be sitting on a plane and thinking your pilot's only looking at the altimeter. Be a little scary. Be a little scary. I mean, if you've been in the cockpit of a plane, you know all the different gauges that are visible there, and you're managing and measuring each one. So I love the analogy of, you know, trying to get a man on the moon as akin to, you can't look at just your Apple Watch, just your Whoop, just your Garmin to determine, am I measuring the thing that's going to successfully measure my health?
Yeah, that really kind of puts it into perspective. I'm imagining this someone in this cockpit, and there's just like one dial in front of them, and they're like about to blast off.
I would be afraid.
I think that's really powerful. I would also be afraid if I'm only tracking a single data point and all of my success or failure is dependent on a single point. Then I think you're really setting yourself up for disaster. And when we take that and apply it to our health and fitness journey, you cannot distill your health and fitness journey down to a single data point. We think rockets are complex, and they are, but in relation to the human body, actually not that complex. And I think that's important to realize. If we are tracking hundreds of different data points for a plane or a rocket ship, but we're hyper focusing on a single data point for our health and fitness journey, whether it's the scale or your Whoop sleep score or whatever, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And it comes back to the quote that we referenced at the beginning: the more ways you measure, the more ways you can win. So using weight loss as an example, if you were hyper focused on the scale and that's the only thing you're tracking, then that kind of leads itself to fueling an all or nothing mindset, where you are either on track and being quote unquote successful, or you are not on track and the scale is not doing what you want it to do, and therefore you are quote unquote failing in your pursuit. So if you're only measuring one thing, then you're, as I said, that could lead to an all or nothing mindset where you're 100% winning or 100% failing. And that is a dangerous place to be in. And that's actually a huge reason why I love tracking lots of different things. Because like we were talking about with HRV, not really doing what I wanted to do, but doing pretty well with my sleep score. Been doing really pretty well with my nutrition. Training is another thing that I haven't been totally on top of. I give myself some grace. I don't beat myself up on that. I understand that has not been the highest priority for me. And there are a multitude of reasons why. And that's okay. But it's also feedback. Like, how am I feeling? I'm not training as much. And that's something that I can get back on track with. So tracking multiple things and really looking at a more comprehensive picture is what sets you up for long-term success. And if you're just tracking one thing like the scale, then yeah, that can lead to a perspective where you are thinking, I am 100% winning or 100% failing. And most of the time, even when you are doing all the right inputs, the scale doesn't do exactly what you want it to do. So most of the time, if you maintain that mindset, you will be quote unquote failing. And that is not helpful, and it's not fully representative of all of the effort that you have been putting in. And that's a disservice to you, because you deserve to celebrate as many wins as you possibly can when you are showing up every day and putting in the work. So instead of focusing on a single metric, a single point, and tracking one tiny little sliver of your health and fitness journey, if you go out and you're tracking in one way or another, and it doesn't all need to be quantitative tracking, but if you're going out and you're tracking a bunch of different things, qualitatively and quantitatively, maybe a couple dozen, then even if you are just making good progress in one of those different compartments, then you can still use that as a frame of reference for saying, hey, I'm making progress. I'm making tangible progress. I feel good about that. And these other could be everything else that maybe is not changing the way that you are expecting or wanting it to, but you can focus on saying, hey, I've got some progress here, and that is clearly established by this particular data point that I'm tracking. And then everything else, this is feedback that I can use to pivot and get back on track and improve over time. And that's how I use data. That's how I use trackers. That's how I use Whoop. And that has served me very well.
Agreed. Actually, as you were talking, I had this vision of opening up my laptop every day and seeing a little dashboard of all of my metrics. But you can't turn every single dial at the same time and expect to actually have an outcome that's meaningful. So, and you don't want to be in the rocket ship with the scale number as the only gauge for your health outcomes.
That's another important point in when we focus on kind of maintaining a more scientific process and trying to make kind of data-driven decisions. You don't go into a lab and change 27 things from one experiment to the next.
No.
And then expect that you're going to get some useful information from that. So that's another, I think, important thing to focus on. And that's also how I try to show up in my health and fitness journey. When I like making small tweaks.
Exactly.
And seeing how that changes my results over the next few weeks. And then I make adjustments. You can continue making adjustments in these different areas, but understanding that you shouldn't just go all in and just take like a scorched earth approach and change everything all at once when you are a little short of your goals any given week. So, all right, let's kind of finish up by sharing with all of our listeners, how can you decide what data trackers are useful? How can you kind of work through that?
Leif, this is a question I get regularly. And so I just want to hit on several key factors for anyone who's going to be considering a purchase to put on their decision matrix. So the first one is know your goals, because if you're going to be swimming, you may not want to buy a device that doesn't track swimming. So know what your goals are, and that should be kind of the first box on your matrix to understand what is the right wearable for me. The next one I have is check the accuracy. So you want to, if you know what you're going to be measuring, so you don't want to purchase a device if you're going to be swimming that can't track your laps, because then you're going to be counting in your head up to 100 again, which is not good. So as you're assessing the market and understanding what device will meet your goals, also understand for those variables that you want to measure, how accurate is it? The third one I like to think about, which is important to me, is battery life. I mean, the other thing I hate about my Apple Watch is 6:30 p.m. every night, it goes to, you need to charge me. It's consistent. I just know I have to get up at 6:30 and put it on the charger. I like a device that can go for a couple of days if necessary. Recharging something or having it fail on a regular basis it's a consideration. So battery life, or whether you're an ultra runner, a swimmer, that should be a consideration for you. The fourth variable is compatibility. So you don't want to bring a device into your device ecosystem that is completely incompatible. So if you purchase a device and it doesn't work with your smartphone and your Android, then you're just going to get frustrated and it's going to end up in the gadget garage. I'll call it a garage. That's much kinder. The fifth point is user interface. So UI is so important to me. And UI can be as simple as no UI. So I love the UI of the device of the Whoop, but I also like the user interface of the app. It's very clean. It highlights what's important. So whether you're looking at a watch face, whether you're looking at a device face, whether you're looking at an app, user interface is also important. We touched on style and comfort, comfort being paramount. You don't want to purchase something that you don't want to wear because it's not comfortable. And then the last one I put on is you want to choose a device from a company that looks at continuous advancement and improvement. So some of the devices in my gadget garage are because they solved one problem and the manufacturer never evolved beyond it, as opposed to a device that is going to continue to grow with me. That is something that I think should rank highly in anyone's scorecard. So those are the big criteria that I would encourage people to explore.
Really important. And I love that for Whoop, you can go several days without needing to power it up. And it's also so, the fact that you can charge it while it is on your wrist is
amazing.
Huge. That's such a great design. So yeah, you can just wake up. Sometimes I'll go to bed with the battery just on it and charging. So there are lots of different ways you can do that. All right, as we wrap this conversation up, do you have any other kind of points that you want to touch on?
No. I just want to challenge all of the wearable manufacturers, and I want to challenge our community we need to find a way to have these devices help us become healthier. So I think that's part of my mission, to understand how these can help our health span and our lifespan. But I really want to challenge the industry to do better and be better, not just to make another device.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I thoroughly enjoy this conversation. Feel like we had a lot of gold nuggets in here, not just about wearables and tech, but also the mindset behind tracking and how you can occupy a really beneficial mind space when it comes to tracking your health and fitness journey. So thank you so much for your time, Daphne.
Thank you.
Appreciate this conversation, and I hope all of you got value from this. Thanks, and we'll catch you in the next episode. To get access to some of our best content for free, head over to thevegangym.com. We've got tons of articles and guides to help you burn stubborn body fat, build lean muscle, and supercharge your health. You can even use our vegan nutrition calculator for free to figure out how much protein, calories, and micronutrients your body needs. Get started right now at theveganjim.com.